الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته
Weekend Breakfast with Maulana Muhammad Kara and Maulana Ibrahim Daya.
Ten minutes past the hour of seven. This is the Weekend Breakfast program on Radio Islam International on this slightly cold and chilly Saturday morning. Now, during this segment, we are speaking to Muhammad Junaid MJ Lee Shafiq, who is a 5-time gold medalist and Legends of Kung Fu World Martial Arts champion. He's also the ambassador for Truth Collective South Africa that is spearheading the second Gaza convoy. And as you have heard, there is a motorcade that is taking place today in Lanesia from 12 noon, starting at LMS and going up to Rose Park. So we're speaking a bit about that as well, and the Gaza convoy as well. Muhammad will be telling us more. Let's welcome him to the program. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Maulana. Thank you, Jazakallah, for having me, and an honor to be back on Radio Islam International.
Jazakallah khairan for joining us. It's lovely to have you with us.
Muhammad, just to get the name right, Muhammad J. Lee. Any relation to Bruce Lee?
Wo je ma li jian hu nan fei. Alhamdulillah, you know, I was born Muhammad Junaid Shafika. So, Muhammad... There's a short abbreviation amongst the Chinese Muslims for Muhammad, and that is Ma. So yeah. They've given me, not a new name, but they've given me, over the years in China, they've given me the title or name Ma Li Jian, which in essence, the abbreviation of that is MJ Lee. So when they found out my name is Muhammad Junaid, it's customary for your teacher to give you a name either in Cantonese or Mandarin that has the same meaning as your name of birth. So I told them Muhammad Junaid, the name my mother gave me. Rahim Allah, Allah grant a high place in Jannah.
Amen, amen.
That it's the chosen soldier. And I consequently, they then gave me the name Ma Li Jian. And it just so happens, incidentally, that MJ Lee is the abbreviation. So long story short, no, I'm not related to Jet Li or Bruce Lee.
Okay. All right, mashallah. Just a question before we talk about the martial arts in the convoys. You actually went to China, spent years there to just learn martial arts, Muhammad?
That's correct. So when I was a young boy, my late father, Sheikh Abdullah Chafikar, Rahim Allah, Allah also grant him a high place in Jannah, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
And if there are, and I'm sure there are many, many of your listeners that are tuned in, if you have lost your parents and your family, we must never ever forget them, what they have done to ensure that the principles and the ethics instilled within us as Muslims, as humanitarians, that we continue to do that good work and it ultimately becomes an embodiment of what they've shared with us along their journey. And we never forget them and we always do that little bit of good in their name. And if our parents are still with us, you should do your best to ensure that you serve upon them, that you spend time with them and give them the due right, because Allah has given them to us in this life as a passport to success in the akhirah. So let's never forget them if they've passed on, and if they are and they're ill and they are frail now, let's do our best, literally, to spend as much time with them and to be in their service. So my father, Rahim Allah, he introduced me to martial arts training in Cape Town when I grew up. You know, I come from a mixed background. My mother, alhamdulillah, was a Turk from Istanbul, and my father's parents were, his dad was from India, and my grandmother was a Bedouin Arab from Saudi, who came, you know, to South Africa at the turn of the early 19th century. So they were obviously way before my time. But my father recognized my interest in martial arts. And he got me to do formal training in Cape Town. And then some years later, after I had matriculated, I was then given the amazing opportunity to travel to China to train at the Shaolin Temple in Kung Fu, and then also go to Mount Wudang, where the Chinese believe the internal art of Tai Chi was established and created, so to speak. And yeah, this was just an amazing opportunity for me. And as they say, the rest is history.
Yeah, mashallah.
And then I believe you're also a South African athlete or Protea athlete and a 5-time gold medalist. Tell us a bit about that.
Alhamdulillah, so I had this burning desire to represent my country. I wanted to compete at the highest level, and that was one of the primary reasons why, after having trained locally, I needed to go to the home of Kung Fu, which is China, as we know. And that set me on a path of becoming a professional. And I was then given my first opportunity in 2005 to represent South Africa at the World Traditional Championships in China, where I finished third with 2 bronze medals. And then 4 years later, back in China, in Shanghai again, at the World Jingwu Kung Fu Championships, where I then improved upon my 2005 achievements, and I then finished second with 2 silver. And then, alhamdulillah, 2012, at the Legends of Kung Fu World Championship, I'd won gold while observing fast in the month of Ramadan.
Oh, mashallah.
2014, same thing also, World Championships, won gold again, also while observing fast in the month of Ramadan, a personal choice that I had made because I felt that training and competing while observing fast in the month of Ramadan, it had just given me this remarkable clarity and tranquility, and the focus that I had, picked up in this period was just amazing. And then 2016, Legends World Championship again, I then come back with 4 gold. So that was 3 consecutive World Championships. And then I went back to Hong Kong in 2018 and 2019, where 2018 I competed. It was not World Championship, but it was international. So I then won gold again. And then my last international championship before the world went into lockdown was in 2019 in Hong Kong, where I'd won 5 gold again, alhamdulillah.
Oh, mashallah. We have came to the radio station today and just shown us some, some styles and tricks. But anyway, Muhammad J. Lee, Shafiqa, talking about martial arts and Kung Fu, what is a martial arts system and what does a training program actually involve?
Well, from the physical perspective, if you train in China particularly, you have to be up by 5 in the morning and your training starts at 5:30. And you are literally training with hundreds and thousands of students. If it is at the Shaolin Temple, at any given point in time, you'll find more than 10,000 athletes and students training from as early as 5:30 in the morning. And your training regimen, if you want to become a professional, it's literally going to take you about 8, 10, 12 hours of training per day. And it is physically exhausting because it's skills that are being developed. It's a repetition of certain taolu steps. You would obviously be trained in weapons, kung fu weapons, and then san shao, reactionary skills, etc. So it's physically very demanding. If it's something that you really want to do and become a professional where you would be able to compete internationally and represent your country, you must literally know that you're going to have to do the time. 10,000 hours over a 10-year period will qualify you as a professional. And once you've achieved that, your journey only then begins because you've now just ascended the first mountain. And ahead of you, there will literally lie dozens of mountains that you will have to ascend. So what I've encountered over the years, that Kung Fu and martial arts training has taught me self-discipline, self-respect, self-worth. It's given me clarity and focus. So on the one hand, we can focus merely on the external, which is the physical. But it's way beyond that. Martial arts is about you actually getting to know yourself. And it's about you developing inner traits, characteristics and qualities that is going to benefit you in the long run. And ultimately, you would become of service to your community your country and to mankind.
And that's so true that many times when you meet someone that is studying martial arts and you ask them that, what have you learned? At the very top of the list, they will say that I've learned self-discipline, self-worth, and these qualities that you might not be able to see, but it really does change the way a person looks at life and so on. Mohammed, do you think that is there still like a bit of interest amongst youngsters to get involved in martial arts in today's time?
It's a very good question, you know, Olena. I think there is. Youth will always be, even adults, they will always be interested in martial arts. There's always been this fascination with the East because all countries in the Far East have their own sort of brand of martial arts, but primarily in the Far East, countries that are close to one another, China, Korea, Japan, etc. This was essentially, literally hundreds and thousands of years ago. It was the Middle Kingdom a very long time ago, and there was one central martial arts system, which was Kung Fu or Wushu, and then sub-styles or branches developed from there. So the belief in history is that Kung Fu, Chinese martial arts in the Far East, was and always will be the mother of all martial arts, and then other styles or branches came from there. So when I came back from the World Championship in 2016, the Western Cape government and the Western Cape Education Department arranged a schools tour for me, and I visited around 80 to 100 schools where I was asked to do motivational talks, etc. And naturally there I saw this interest, you know, in learners at primary schools, at high schools, in martial arts, and people that I meet over the years. There is definitely this interest. Whether or not they want to go on to become a professional, I think that is immaterial. But if you can use martial arts as a catalyst, as a medium to develop self-worth, self-respect, to develop confidence, to aid your focus and your concentration. So even if you're going to end up, you know, playing cricket, playing rugby, playing hockey, playing tennis, or becoming perhaps adept at swimming, but you perhaps use martial arts also as a medium to develop these traits, then I think we're definitely going to see the benefit in the system of martial arts. So definitely, I believe, Malina, there is and there will be a continuous interest, particularly by the youth, in martial arts.
Well, MJ, just a question before we speak about the motorcade plan for Palestine. You know, you hear all this Ching Li, Bo Bo Li, all this, you know, terminology and taekwondo and judo. What is the difference between kung fu, karate, judo, taekwondo?
Okay, so as I said, essentially, the mother of all martial arts is kung fu. And when the Middle Kingdom split up and countries claimed their independence, they took with them a branch of kung fu and martial arts. So Korea has today, in the modern world, they have their own system of martial arts, which is taekwondo. Japan took with it their own style, which came from the kung fu, and that is karate. And they also developed aikido and judo, right?
Yeah.
So Japan now has karate as a style of martial arts. It's like their national martial arts system. You have aikido, you have judo, all of these different styles of martial arts. But essentially, a long time ago, they all came from the kung fu. And if you go to China and you train up in the north at the Shaolin Temple and you study the history of martial arts, you will find that essentially taekwondo, karate, aikido, they all a very long time ago came from the kung fu. So today in the modern world, you will recognize kung fu or wushu as being a Chinese martial arts system. We will recognize aikido as a Japanese martial arts system. We will say taekwondo is a Korean martial arts system. So they split up in the modern world now, but essentially they all came from the same source.
Interesting. Yeah, gee, I want to learn karate and aikido, gee.
It's never too late, Maulana Mohammed Kara. Anyway, Mohammed, you're also an ambassador for Truth Collective South Africa that has appeared in the second Gaza convoy. Yeah. And today in Indonesia also there's a motorcade that is starting at about 12 noon from the LMS school. So tell us a bit about this convoy.
So So I think I want to firstly thank Al Jama'a in Cape Town because they supported the first convoy to Gaza that was spearheaded by Truth Collective South Africa. It's a local NGO in Ruth Road in Rylands in Cape Town. So I want to thank Al Jama'a for supporting that, essentially helping to get the word out. And I believe also that they are doing very good work in Lanesia, etc. And they've and also other parts of Gauteng. So they've arranged for this Palestine motorcade today. But we've been in Gauteng, a delegation of Truth Collective South Africa. We've been in Gauteng for the last 2 to 3 days. We'll still be here until tomorrow evening. So we've been in Benoni, we've been in Pretoria, we've gone to Lodium, Erasmus. We're coming to Lanesia today for the motorcade. And then we're heading back to Cape Town on Sunday. So we've been meeting with a few schools. Myself, the CEO of Truth Collective South Africa, who is a Palestinian from Gaza, Mr. Bakr al-Muharrame, as well as Mufti Ibrahim Smith Sharif from Cape Town. So we've been meeting with schools, promoting awareness around the second convoy. We've been meeting with like-minded donors and individuals that are prepared to contribute in a serious way towards the campaign. When we took the first convoy of medical supplies to Gaza in July this year, it was 12 South Africans from Cape Town who went along as volunteers. We got the complete cooperation and support from the Embassy for the State of Palestine in Pretoria, the Embassy of Egypt, our South African government, the Department of International Relations, and we also collaborated with the South African Embassy in Cairo, the Palestinian Embassy in Cairo, Egyptian Red Crescent Society, and the Palestine Red Crescent Society. And I'm humbled and inspired because we know the dynamic in Cape Town. 1.1 million rands was raised for the first convoy.
Yeah.
And this was primarily people from Cape Town who donated that amount of money in the space of a month. And that money was used completely to purchase medical supplies. We then did the purchasing of it in Egypt because that is international protocol. If it has to go over the Rafah border, we packed it onto the trucks. It was transported via the convoy, got to the Rafah border. It then went over the border and it was delivered, alhamdulillah, in the middle of July. It was delivered to the Gaza hospital, particularly Al-Shifa hospital. So when we got back, a public audit was done. We showed the public exactly where the funds had gone. And then they appointed me as a brand ambassador for Truth Collective South Africa. And we launched the second convoy. So we're intending to take medical supplies to the value of 3 million at the end of the year, either in December or first week in January. Once again, to assist the hospitals in Gaza. And in addition, we're intending to take a supply of diesel, which will help power the generators at the hospitals in Gaza. But for that, we naturally require the support and the assistance of like-minded South Africans and who want to see the freedom and liberation of Al-Aqsa and the occupied territory. So here's an opportunity for us to actually play our part. And with Truth Collective South Africa, the campaign was transparent. It was immediate, it was honest, it was trustworthy, and the public had then automatically seen exactly where the funding had gone. So I know we will be coming back to Gauteng again, probably in a month's time, to meet a few more schools. We've spoken at a couple of masajid here, and we'll probably do the same. We're going to go to KZN and PE, because now the target in total would be 8 million. So if there are listeners from Radio Islam International that are serious about, you know, the liberation and assisting of Palestine, here's an opportunity for us to support the cause. You can just access the website tcsa.org.za. You'll find all the information of the first convoy and in the second convoy that we are currently planning, inshallah.
MashaAllah. MJ, just a final question regarding the motorcade leaving from the Anime School, the Asia Muslim School. What about time and the events planned for today?
All right, so we are currently still in Pretoria, the Truth Collective South Africa delegation, because we had meetings very late last night with possible donors, etc., and we've got a very early meeting now. So we'll arrive in Lanesia shortly after 10:30. This is our delegation. And then we will join up with Councillor Imran Musa, who has arranged this Palestine motorcade to raise awareness around the TCSA second Gaza convoy. So I think it gets underway around 12 noon, and we're looking forward to everyone in Indonesia coming out to support the Palestine motorcade. And it also gives us an opportunity for us to appeal to them to support the second convoy. So inshallah, we'll be there shortly after 12 or shortly before 12 when the motorcade gets underway. And we look forward to seeing everyone there, inshallah.
Inshallah, jazakallah for that wonderful initiative as well. Allah Pak reward all you guys for this initiative. And really, you spoke about the Cape Townian brothers and sisters when it comes to the Palestinian issue. Wallahi, they are so passionate about this cause. Allah reward them. And the hadith comes to mind, MJ, regarding helping somebody for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whoever relieves a distress from a Muslim brother or sister or anybody else, we find, according to the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Pak will remove this person's, the helper's distress on the day of Qiyamah. Jazakallah, and final remarks in words to our listeners. MJ Lee, cousin of Bruce Lee, G.
I think, you know, Maulana, that hadith that you stated is apt. So we know, and the promise is, inshallah, that one day Al-Aqsa and Palestine is going to be free. But for that, we're going to have to be on the right side of history, and we're going to have to contribute towards the cause in whatever way we can, and to really do for Gaza and for Palestine. And what we say should not just rest on the shoulders of a dua. If we're doing it, alhamdulillah, that is very good, or for us to march. But if we can do a bit more than that, we did. Allah has blessed me through hard work and dedication. I became a world champion 3 times. Next year, I will continue representing my country. So now I'm embarking on a journey to learn what it's like to become a champion of Gaza, of Palestine, of mankind. So I want you to join me so that we can all put shoulders to the wheel and become champions of Gaza and Palestine. And ultimately, through our efforts and the efforts of all humanitarians across the world, inshallah, Gaza and Palestine one day will be free, inshallah.
Ameen. 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 Mohammed Junaid, MJ Lee, Jazakumullah Khairan so much for chatting to us and giving us some insight into this topic.
Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mohammed Junaid, MJ Lee, South African pro tier athlete, 5-time gold medalist as well. He's a Kung Fu champion and now doing some good work, alhamdulillah, with this convoy to Gaza.
I forgot to tell him, Maulana, I'm also a black belt.
Just a black leather belt or what? Giving your trousers up. That's what the belt that he's got, Maulana Muhammad Kara. But anyway, never too late to learn. Mankara said that he wants to learn some martial arts. Maybe we can enroll him in one of the schools here. If any of the listeners know of a good martial arts school in and around Indonesia, drop us a message, let us know so that we can send Maulana Muhammad Kara there. Perhaps in 2 or 3 years' time, he'll be an expert martial arts. Maybe you can go to Japan and
the new world champion.
Well, you can get a gold medal there as well. That brings us to the end of this segment. We're going to take an ad break. When we come back, it's the fishing program.